Blog Talk Radio.
To the head, to the source, of course. Welcome. There are so many wonderful gospel messages, so many wonderful poets, prophets, those on the watchtower, watching, waiting, waking people up. But Emil Nelligan had a very kind word for his mother, and I'd like to read that again. Ma mère, quelquefois sur ma tête elle met ses mains pures, blanches, ainsi que des frissons blancs de gui pur. Elle me baise le front, me parle tendrement, d'une voix au son d'or mélancoliquement. Elle a les yeux couleur de ma vague chimère. Oh, toute poésie, oh, toute extase, oh, mère. À l'autel de ses pieds, je l'honore en pleurant. Je suis toujours petit pour elle, quoique grand. Emil Nelligan. And we always have Leonard Cohen, you know, not only repent, 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 but also those people in the crowd saying their prayers out loud, and they're going to hear from me. He knows the Jesuits very well. He talks about them, but he never comes directly to say what he, you know, he's a poet. So you have to read into what he's saying. And it does become very clear. It's a dark and chaotic time he's seeing. What he sees when he looks out into this world, it's a dark and chaotic time. You better repent. That's about where he gets to. If you are the dealer, I'm out of the game. If you are the healer, then I'm full of shame. And on he goes. I enjoy him very much, and he certainly seemed to see Jesus on the cross because he talks about it very much, Calvary, and how the light will have to be turned down if Jesus doesn't want it to be shining. You want it darker, we kill the flame. And so many others. But I do enjoy other languages for poetry and scripture. Not translating so much, but giving the sense of it. The Spanish St. John of the Cross, well, he is talking about the secret place, the sweet, wonderful place when you're close with Jesus. Yes, that's what he does talk about, that it's a night and everything is quiet in your heart. But he calls that the home, your home. En una noche oscura, con ansias en amores inflamada, O dichosa ventura, sali sincer notada, estando ya mi casa sosigada. A escura y segura, por la secreta escala disfrazada, es segura y ensalada, estando ya mi casa sosegada. En la noche dichosa, en secreto que nadie me vea, ni yo miraba cosa, sin otro luz y guía, sino la que en el corazón ardía. Acuesta me guiaba más cierto que la luz del mediodía, donde yo esperaba quien yo lo bien me sabía, en donde parte nadie parecía. O noche guiaste, o noche amable más que elaborado, o noche juntaste, amado en el amado, amada en el amado transformada. En mi pecho florido, que entero para el sol se gestaba, allí quedo dormido, y yo regalaba y el ventale del cedro heredaba. El aire del almeno, cuando yo sus cabellos esparcía, con su mano serena en mi cuello hería, y todos mis sentidos suspendía. Quedéme y olvidéme, el rostro recline sobre el amado. Ceso todo y dieme, diando mi suidado entre las a sus años, olvidado. Now, Rome is everywhere. I certainly could not attempt in any way to follow them, their machinations everywhere in the world. They don't believe anybody should have a freedom of conscience. They believe that everybody is a child, and that is what they believe, that they have to direct everybody in the world, that they could never go to Jesus directly, but that they have to be told what to do, and they're very foolish. And yes, a bunch of fools, actually. But Dostoevsky, another poet and writer, certainly showed them up in the Grand Inquisitor. There's nothing like the Inquisition for Rome. I mean, that's their crowning glory, their crusades and the Inquisition. And they're still here because, you know, everybody's talking about they have a crusade here and a crusade there. It changes because they said parsons in the 16th century. He was running the whole armada into England, and they absolutely had to get rid of Elizabeth I. I don't know if you can understand by now that every single Protestant has to be killed. Every single Protestant has to be gotten rid of in some way or another. War is excellent. Taking over the whole country is excellent. Then you get in, you put your Inquisition in place, and Parsons was running the whole invasion into England, and he didn't have the full support of the Roman Catholics in England, because some of them were actually patriots, and they joined Elizabeth, and although they weren't of the Anglican faith. So you see, it's a terrible thing to be of the Anglican faith in their sight. That's heretic and a worse execrable race. I mean, it's just worse than just, it's anathema, it's cursed. And that is how they work. The Spanish Armada was just 1588, the start of getting after Elizabeth. Mary killed thousands and thousands. I know one, a beautiful Protestant lady. She divorced her husband, who was a Roman Catholic, and did excellently preaching all over the country. Was so wonderful in every way, and burned at the stake by Mary. So, I mean, as I was saying, it's to me so obvious that their finding is not working well. They don't want to be. They want to be very covert and careful. And so war is an excellent way to just kill the Protestants through war, kill their cities, bomb them like Dresden in Germany, where it wasn't a part of the war at all, and the war was over, and they bombed that beautiful Protestant city. Prussia exists no more. You can't hear about Prussians. But we did have the Franco-Prussian War, so they were around in the 1700s. But gone are they all. They would have got Luther, but what a wonderful man. How protected he was. God has to protect you. We all in Jesus have to be fully protected, and staying, watching Jesus, looking into his face as a light, and staying completely away from sin, separating ourselves. This is the only way to stay protected in Jesus. And then these evil hands can't touch you. But so many were betrayed. Never trust Rome. They told Hus that he could have safe passage, and when he got to Rome, they burned him at the stake. Luther, they tried and tried and tried, and they had everything planned. And Elizabeth I, time after time after time, they tried to kill that woman. But they could not do it. And they were very clear about it. And they weren't allowed to be to vote or to have any monarch from Roman Catholic. So it was set up that way. But they worked just the same. And it came to light when... they had their parishes, they had set up bishops, and one bishop got jealous, and he sent a missive to the Pope, and it was found by Elizabeth's people saying, I want to be promoted in such a parish, and they weren't allowed to have any parishes or any place in the country at all. So they just work underground. You can't get rid of them. France tried three or four times. And seriously looked into everything and did their best. But they sneak back in, even as beggars or merchants. And, they are the people. They are French people. So that's how they work. They get insinuate into the populace, and they become one of them. So that you can't tell the difference. And that's in every country in the world. You can't tell the difference between a Jesuit and a regular Frenchman. So the French said they were uncivil. They had a commission of 14 people and definitely saw through their criminal activities. And, of course, at one point they were banned by the Pope, so they definitely have criminal activities constantly and always, and won't hesitate to use any means to... for their end. Their end is to get rid of all Protestants. And the Protestant Bible, 1611. James worked hard for that. But they really had him every tried every way to get James to be with them, and finally he did go. One thing he did was he sold to the Jesuits a warship, and that was going to be used against the Huguenots in France. In France, the Huguenots were killed in 1572, St. Bartholomew, about 30,000, and many thousands escaped. And the gunpowder plot blow up Parliament was at that around the time of James, and all of Parliament was to be killed. So now what could just happen here is we got Chinese, Russian, Muslims. They could very well be coming to our shores. Nothing changes with the Jesuits. They have the same MO always, everywhere in the world. Now, the UN belongs to them, so everything that comes out of there, just forget about it and try to stay away. The only thing we can do is probably at municipal, as the local level, because that's where they're doing it. So the whole world is going to be into this Agenda 21. That's how they're moving, and they're moving on many, many different fronts. So it's not just the Muslims are moving with their Mahdi. They need chaos before the Mahdi comes, because the Mahdi has to clean up a mess. So they want to have a big chaos and big mess for the Mahdi to clean up, because otherwise he won't come. And that's the Muslims. They can use them where they want, and they started, the Muslims, the Rome did in the beginning, so they know how to control them. And then the Jewish people, they have the Kabbalah, which we've spoken about, and that is moving in the AI area, and robots, and the robots that will be so similar to our man's design that we won't tell the difference, hair and skin and everything like that. And all of physics, it's totally gone over to, the dark side, the demons, the Kabbalah, the alchemy. It's said, well, you knew all along in the Kabbalah what was the basis of all mathematics and the basis of all the universe. That is how they're thinking. And so they are making a push for the whole world as well. They have many countries already come along to make laws for Noahide laws, that everybody should follow these Noahide laws. And that's a very serious threat for world dominance as well. But the communists also they've never given up, because that's all a part of Agenda 21. That's all what the UN is promoting. So there's many fronts and areas where it's all coming to a head for the world government. And the whole point is to, this is in the UN or the proclamations from Rome or the Vatican, everywhere you see this Pope today talking all this, it's taking from the rich and giving to the poor. And never mind your cars. Never mind, that's pollution. We don't want that. Now, they've got everybody going along with the UN, what they say, with that idiot Al Gore. They've took all his books out of the English school system, okay, because there's a bunch of nonsense in there. And they used him for a while, but you haven't heard from him lately because he uses more electricity in his homes than a whole factory does. And he doesn't care one little tiny bit about oil or what he's polluting or what he's using. And none of these people do. You can see they're taking the airplanes everywhere. They pollute more than anybody at all. But they're trying to get our money, not CO2 business. That's what they're trying to get. You see, they're getting the people that make Earth a goddess. And Earth is a goddess in many religions, and she even has names. And Isis is pretty well the goddess of the Earth. And this appeals to these people because they don't know God, and it's pantheism. God is in everything. So it's a religion, that's all. And what it works to through Agenda 21 is taking everything away from all the richer countries and making them just like the third world countries. It's hard to believe, but that is what they are writing down very clearly. We've got to take away all the houses, the cars, the land. People can't have all these things, and they shouldn't get used to them. Get everything very small and tiny, and even New York, Giuliani, tiny apartments. How many square feet? Anyway, it's going to be... before you know it, you're not going to have suburbs, more and more pushed towards the city. You have stores below everything, houses above. The streets are very narrow. There's going to be bus systems and a lot of roundabouts to slow the traffic. They want everything slowed. And basically no more cars. That's why you see so many bike paths made. And I understand also there's going to be exits made from the city and the bike paths so people can walk on them, because the cars are going to be people will be leaving the city. It was like there was this big fire, and they had already followed Agenda 21, and they had narrowed all the streets, and the cars couldn't get out of for the fire. They couldn't leave the city because of the fire. And they took They took the trees. They put more trees, and those trees added to the fire. It was burning. And they were advised against it. And now I'm telling you, Alabama has passed a law that there is nothing of any Agenda 21 to be passed in their state. And Oklahoma and Missouri are also making it illegal to promote anything of Agenda 21. Occupy till he comes, please. Just occupy. Just to take over the space. Get your armor on every day. Be in the protection of Christ. You're hid with Christ and God. Be in Jesus. Be hid in him. And stay close with Jesus. That is how we protect ourselves, and that is how we stay away from all these popes, you know, if you knew everyone is not only evil, they're just ridiculous. Paul the Sixth, he was only 3 weeks. oh, Lord, I mean. Albino Luciani was 66, and he was a patriarch of Venice. He always did pastoral work. He was no intellectual, not an administrator. You see, every pope, they're all, you know, they're corrupt. But he was less corrupt. He was, I believe he was homosexual, but I'm quite sure of it. But I mean, he liked to dress in shorts and he didn't like papal garments. He wasn't popish enough for people. And, you know, he said more of mama than papa in Almighty God. He was just, but he had a terrific agenda, and that was to go to the Vatican Bank and do everything to smash it. He knew it was corrupt because they had interfered with him in Venice. So he had a very important work to do, but he was terrified, all right, about what might happen to him because of doing this. And it seems that he had this Irish fellow, McGee, who was watching after him because none of these popes or Jesuits are ever on their own. They always have somebody right next to them. And he saw that Luciani threw all kinds of papers and documents for the Vatican Bank over the balcony, and he was shaking just a few weeks after being elected. And you see, he was going to confront the heads of the Vatican Bank, but one of the heads was to meet with him, and he was terrified. That's there's no doubt. And this McGee, he put him to bed, and he said, "You'll have to go to bed. You're just shaking and nervous." And he went and collected the documents as best he could. But they discovered that he wanted to down this corrupt Vatican Bank because it was corrupt from top to bottom. They took away all he had little tiny money to give to his parish priests, and that's what he did. He was the head in Venice of the Roman hierarchy, and he loved to give this charity to the parishes, and that was taken away. He had no money, and he was enraged and was about to do something. He was also, I mean, could have been very interesting, saying there's more in Almighty God of the mama than the papa. I mean, you know, I know he wrote a letter to anyway, gone, they said, pulmonary embolism. Ha, 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 ha. No. No autopsy. Look at Carol Wojtyla comes up, and the Irish Mafia are gone. So long they've been running the Vatican. Opus Dei comes in. What a horrible, disgusting mess. Homosexual at the head. He makes bastards of his own children. And on it goes. What can we do? Next week I'll see you, and we'll try to find out where we can see Rome is going next. Be blessed, and in Jesus to be safe.